Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, an Eau Claire woman becomes the head of a state brain organization. The story behind what led her to that happened more than 40 years ago, and more ahead. On this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Audrey Nelson. Yes, she recently became the executive director of the Brain Injury Alliance of Wisconsin. But before we get into that and the business she had for more than a quarter century preceding that, she tells the story of the day that things changed for her. It was a car accident she was involved in, along with several others, more than 41 years ago, an accident that had significant ties to WWIB.
Five of us teenagers were in a car accident on Highway 27 between Cadott and Cornell, pretty close to the original WWIB studio. And four of us were connected to the station in that our fathers worked for WWIB.
Nelson's dad, David Sassolo, was a station employee at the time. She explains the accident.
All five of us were hurt pretty badly. There was another car coming towards us that ran into some ice and spun into our car. Our car wasn't at fault. We stayed on the side of the road. We were actually driving on the side of the road to avoid sliding because the roads were glare ice. Anyway, so Lori Reinders was in the car, and she was driving, and she got hurt fairly badly, pinned up against the steering wheel, had to have some major surgery to repair an artery that had been torn, and other injuries. I went through part of the windshield, and the engine of the car came in on my feet, and I crushed a foot, and something went into my head, into my forehead, and penetrated my right frontal lobe. And so I subsequently had to have brain surgery that night, and then six months later, had a plate put in my forehead where that penetration was.
So just like that, the trajectory of your life changed as you had a business for 27 years that you just sold.
Reality Unlimited, that did what?
We provided residential care for people with brain injury.
I mean, just like that though, right? I mean, just the trajectory of, I mean, you had no intentions of doing brain work, but like you did.
No, I was just talking with someone. We were just at a funeral for a missionary in Brazil, and from Brazil. And I was saying, yeah, when I was in fifth grade, I went forward to, because I really was committed to being a missionary to Brazil, to Brasilia, Brazil. Took years of Spanish so that I would someday be able to learn Portuguese. And then I said, you know, it's kind of weird because you think that maybe I didn't accomplish that I had gone forward. And of course you think of that phrase, many are called, few are chosen kind of thing, which is kind of had been in my back pocket of like, well, I guess that didn't happen. But really there have been a few days when I've been in the hallways of my group homes going, yep, this is the mission field. And God said, broken brains, not broken homes in Brasilia. He meant broken brains here. But I wouldn't have known that as a fifth grader. You know, I wouldn't have understood what he was saying.
As for the life-changing accident, Nelson recalls.
So the three behind us, it was Lori Reinders, and then Glenn Reinders was behind her and her brother. And he had some broken bones. And my brother was directly behind me, and another girl was in the middle. And
so you were in the front passenger, or were you driving?
Front passenger. Okay. Lori was driving.
Yeah.
And then my brother sustained a broken collarbone, a broken nose. And when he got out of the car, he caught on fire. And Glenn, the other boy in the car, was able to get it out, get the fire out. Mm. So, and then they went to find help. And then Lori had to have, like I said, surgery to repair this artery, and she could have very easily bled out at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So years later, I was doing a presentation, there was a guy in front of me. I was doing a training at Ellie Phillips, actually, Libertas Center, and on brain injury and substance abuse. And this guy in front of me, he literally started going white while I was speaking. as he realized he was the first responder on the scene, the sheriff's deputy on the scene, and he just couldn't, he couldn't believe that a person from that accident was actually speaking to him because of what he had seen. And he just said, it's an absolute miracle that this is happening at all.
How does that make you feel? How did it make you feel?
It was amazing to have an eyewitness to what had happened. And he just said, what you don't know is that while your car was still on the road, the fire truck came and it also spun and came within inches of knocking your car off into the ditch. And I'm just like, whoa. I mean, I think it was miracle after miracle after miracle. And of course, our connection to WWIB, it was immediately broadcast that we were hurt and that we needed prayer. And so it went all over the Christian community that this was happening. So there was an awful lot of prayer. And as my my now father-in-law would say, he goes, you know, there was so much prayer going on that night. Our cat Sparkle could have done that surgery. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Huh. So it is a marvel. It's something I don't remember that night, and except for getting in the car and Lori and I discussing who was going to drive and things like that. I remember that, and I do remember my brother saying we should go back because it was too dangerous. And we said, no, it'll be okay. We'll drive on the gravel and we won't be able to slide.
Little did you know. Yeah. Give me just kind of a recap. The 27 years with the business that you had in terms of the brain work and the help that you provided people. And was it difficult to sell that business?
It is difficult. But what had also happened is that my husband had passed away 2 years ago, and it was really difficult for me to do it by myself. And then I was diagnosed with cancer in November. And so there were many things that were saying, Audrey, this is time to go. You need to be done. And then I was able to find somebody who has a similar heart and similar ideas that I did. And plus, she just really appreciated the work that we had done and the choices we were able to give people in the community.
But the real reason I scheduled this today is because on September 1st, you posted on Facebook, hello, everyone. I've been waiting to make a big announcement. The 1st of September and my coming birthday seems the perfect time. I am now the new executive director of the Brain Injury Alliance of Wisconsin. And you talk about having sold your business. And you say, now I can dedicate all of my time to brain injury advocacy and support. And so tell us about this new position with this organization and shifting your office to UW Eau Claire.
Well, I'm excited. The Brain Injury Alliance has had an office in Madison for quite some time. Prior to that, more time in Milwaukee. But now we're moving. We've been offered space by the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and I'm excited to be there and excited to do more collaboration with the university. They've been very supportive in this time of the pandemic. Support groups had a very, very difficult time. That's one of the things that the Brain Injury Alliance does. We used to have 22 support groups throughout the state, but many of them met in hospitals and other places where restrictions of getting together were brought on by the pandemic. So they had a harder time. Like the Rice Lake group hasn't met since then, and because they met at a hospital. Where we some of us met at the university was able to take on doing virtual groups. And so the university is managing 3 virtual support groups for us, including a poetry support group.
So tell us again, the work of, you've been involved on the board of the Brain Injury Alliance of Wisconsin, but now the executive director. So tell us about the work of the organization. What will your responsibilities be?
I think my responsibilities will be to sort of reach out to the support group leaders that we had had in the past and see what we can do to re-energize those groups and to also figure out a way to invite more people to be part of that and find out where people need the support and the information and also to be present, to be able to answer the phone when people call and say, my son just had a brain injury and I need to know, you know, X, Y, and Z about services and things like that. So there's the support group level. There's the phone calls, you know, phones to information and referral at the office level. And then they're sort of re-engaging with policymakers about brain injury issues. And I'll be going to a pediatric conference in New York next week and just finding out what the state of the art is in brain injury and education services, and hopefully bring some of that back and finding out what's going on in Wisconsin and in the Department of Education here. And then just re-engaging us in the national strategies that are helping increase access to services. And one of those things is a national registry for brain injury, which we don't have right now. You can't go to the CDC and say how many brain injuries are happening. They have numbers, but they're extrapolated from not the best numbers, because only some states participate in the registry, and we're going to try to make it so that it's a national registry.
What's the most common way that people suffer brain injury?
That's a very interesting question, because that has changed over time. 20 years ago, if you would have asked me that same question, I would have said car accidents. And that seems like it's the obvious one. But now we know that people who are older Americans are falling, and they are actually the number one cause of brain injury now is falls. And because we say, why is that? I mean, maybe it's they're slipping in the ice and things like that. But it turns out that's not the reason. The reason is that we have an aging population that is also very active. And so the reasons for their brain injuries are because of the things they are doing, like cleaning out the gutters and their roofs and stuff like that. You know, things that you're like, really? You're 80 some years old and you're doing that? But that's true. That's what's happening, because we are able to do that now because our health system has been pretty good and we're doing pretty well as we age.
I saw a headline just last night. I did not have a chance to click it. It did attract my attention. I believe it said that we are close to, and it sounds unbelievable, but it says we're close to 90 being the new 40. And that just sounds too, but again, we have more and more, the baby boomers getting older, and with the advances of modern medical technology, some of these things. So that's interesting. I wondered about sports, though. We've heard a lot about concussions with the NFL. Yes. And sports in general, even if your kids play youth soccer, I know as my kids were working through the ranks, it's amazing how much more we've learned about that.
It is amazing. And as a true green and gold Packer fan, I do cringe when I hear the helmets click together and things like that, because we know that repetitive hits to the head are just not good for your brain. So what I am comforted by is that we are working very hard in not only protecting the brain better in those incidences, but also in our treatment strategies at the sideline, and then furthermore, and keeping people from returning to play. So those are the strategies that I think are going to be helping in the end with preventing some of that chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which has been the big focus of the NFL, preventing and things like that. So, and have been some of the scarier stories, quite frankly.
Again, thanks so much to Audrey Nelson, the new executive director of the Brain Injury Alliance of Wisconsin, for joining us on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. She posted earlier this month on Facebook regarding the Brain Injury Support Group Summit that had been held at Eau Claire's Human Sciences Services Building for the university, that we had a great day. 30 plus people attended our first Brain Injury Support Group Summit. Audrey says we spent time in roundtable discussions on subjects like types of support groups, resource sharing, online support, success stories, advocacy needs, and peer-to-peer support options. Based on the input gathered, she says our host group, the Blue Gold Brain Injury Support Group, will help work out a strategic plan to develop and support groups in Wisconsin. So thanks so much to Audrey Nelson. What a story. Here on WWIB and WOGO, Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of those two stations, heard weekly.